I'd like to encourage you this evening, if you come back again, even to the House of Lord, where we might worship Him again. The subject tonight, as the subject might have been over this last weekend, we're going to deal with the subject of love tonight. For all you men who didn't buy your wives gifts yesterday, well, I mightn't say too much about that. I don't know if Valentine's Day is pagan. Some people say it was. It's been Christianized. It was banned. But I think it's been taken over by the retail world. But there we are. So if you used to have your Bibles open there at Isaiah 55 again, just with God's word open before us, let's just come to Him in prayer. Lord, with your word open before us, we come to Thee. Lord, we ask that you would speak to each of our hearts. Speak to my heart this morning. O God, that each one of us might know the filling of your Holy Spirit. God, speak, Lord, with that voice that wakes the dead. Remember those, Lord, who may be in this church this morning who are yet unsaved. God, we pray that your word, Lord, will awaken them this morning. In the name of Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention just to one simple verse. This is a marvelous chapter which we have before us. And this morning, I want you to look at that verse 4. It says, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." Many times this chapter is used in the preaching of the gospel. But this morning I want to take the subject of leadership within the Christian church. "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." Some months back, I was invited over to a business retreat over in the middle of England. That whole weekend was dealing with the subject of leadership in business. Before we even arrived there, we had to listen to a set of CDs by a man called J.C. Maxwell. He was originally a Baptist pastor, I believe, in America. But he talked about all the different types of leadership that he believed in. He talked firstly of that positional leadership, which each one of us, I'm quite sure, have a part to play. I'm sure you'll not be the first one who said to the child, "Do what you're told, because I'm your father or I'm your mother." That's positional leadership. But there is that ultimate leadership, which he took it to, where people followed the leader for what he stood for. And that person actually became an example. There's a saying in one of the Shakespeare plays. It says that some are born great and some achieve greatness and some have greatness thrust upon them. We might also put that in relation to leadership. Some are born great leaders. Some achieve that great status of leadership and some are thrown into that position of leadership. As I began to think of that subject of leadership, I began to think of it in the Christian church. Began to think of it in the lives of ordinary men and women. It started to germinate it in my heart to start and think about it. And I started to think, well, what is good godly leadership? What is good leadership? Now, as we look around us, I'm quite sure that it is a need of the hour in many ways. I'm sure it's a need of the hour in government to have good leadership. In business, it's good whenever we've got good leadership. In our community, it is good whenever people take a leadership role and have good leadership. And so it is, as we think of the church, we also need good leadership. But so we can even bring that into our very homes this morning, that we who are parents have good, that we need to have good leadership. As we think of leaders throughout the past, we can think of leaders in the history, men of Churchill, who's been very much in the media recently. But in that, Churchill was recognized as a great leader. But yet, whenever he came out through the wartime, he was then sidelined and put out of leadership. Yes, some men would even go back further to people like Cromwell, who was a great leader. And those who are loyalists among us, and those who we might think of people like William of Orange, or the apprentice boys, leaders, people who took a stand for what they believed in. In today's business world, and if you watch a television at all, I'm quite sure you'll see programs like Dragon's Den. Those men have become known as business leaders. They've been elevated into that place of the media. May not be the best, but they've been shown to be leaders. Men in America like Donald Trump, another man, and billionaires, leaders in business. Richard Branson, a man who was born with dyslexia, yet he's a business leader. Then I'm quite sure that many of you know local men, women in your local locality who are good leaders in business. I know that whenever I first started my first full-time employment, the man who was my MD, I looked up to him as a great business leader. And as we look into the very history of the church, I am sure that we will look at men in the past who were great leaders. Men like Whitfield, Moody, Spurgeon, Jonathan Edwards. All of these men were counted as great leaders. I'm sure many of them had flaws and failures, but they were still leaders. Then whenever we come into the scriptures, and again we'll see other men there, men like Moses, men like Joshua, Gideon, David, Solomon, and Peter. Interesting that one of the interesting fact about many of these great leaders, as you might call them today, they became very visible, but before they were visible as leaders, they were leaders before they were. When you look at men like David, even that psalm that we sang this morning, how he was out in the fields learning the job of a shepherd boy. But in his preparation, he was being prepared for something far greater. God was working in his heart, preparing him to be king. Yes, as we look at leaders in bygone days, as we look at leaders currently, we always will remember that they are merely men, and they do get it wrong sometimes. It's easy for us who sit back to point a finger at them and tell them how wrong they are. Yes, we can look even in at some of the bad leaders of history. We can look at men like Hitler, a man who was a great leader in many ways. He was able to sway multitudes of people with his oratory skills, take them down roads that men and women never thought they would be. But great leaders are normally men of vision, men of passion, men who inspire, men with charisma. It is that thought this morning I want to firstly think of as leaders, as men with a cause or with a purpose. I want you to turn, please, with me over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. As we think of leaders in the Christian sense, what is the cause or what is the purpose of Christian leadership? What is the cause or the purpose of Christian leadership? There's a well-known verse in Mark 16, and verse 15 it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Firstly, I want to put it to you this morning that Christian leadership is to preach the gospel. And secondly, I want you to notice over in Matthew 28, in the verse 19 and 20, again, back to some of the same things of Mark 16. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Firstly, there's the teaching of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, seeing men and women saved unto Christ. But secondly, there is the teaching, the making of disciples. There is one way of seeing people saved, but then there's a second thing of seeing people developed and encouraged and brought to that place where they are being strengthened in Christ. That, I believe, is a true cause, a true purpose of Christian leadership. The purpose is to reach people with the gospel and then to teach and to train them. It is all about duplication. Look at that verse 20. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So whenever the minister preaches or the elder speaks or the Sunday school teacher teaches the children, they should be continually encouraging people to observe all things whatsoever that Christ has commanded them. It's duplication. Over in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others." Who shall be able to teach others. You see, there is the part where we talked about earlier of positional leadership. Do it because I tell you. But that last part, that greater part of leadership, is whenever other people are following in your footsteps, going in the right directions. Duplication. And so it is that each one of us this morning are leaders of somewhat. This morning, someone is looking at your life, and they are duplicating their life on you. I'm quite sure that many times, if you've got children, you've heard your child say something, and you thought to yourself, I wonder where they heard that from. You realize it was from yourself. So how it is that they are duplicated on some of the things that you say. Yes, the spiritual leadership of the local church has been given as such to the elders, the teaching elder, which is the minister. They are all part of the spiritual leadership of a congregation. It is their responsibility to be spiritual leaders. It is their responsibility to make sure that people are reached with the gospel and people are taught and people are duplicated. They are being taught of the scriptures. A friend of mine who was a Roman Catholic got saved. He had been attending a Presbyterian church just outside Ballymena. The man who taught him there was a very godly man. He preached the gospel. But he said that one of the things that he noticed in that church, because he himself had become an elder of the church later on, that they as elders had let the responsibility of all the different things go and just give it to the minister. That man then left because there had been a bit of a move to move him out because, I believe, of his preaching. The next man who came along wasn't as good a minister. That church went down spiritually speaking because the leadership of the church had relinquished their responsibilities. They had relinquished their responsibilities. And parents today, as we think of ourselves as leaders in the home, we cannot relinquish our responsibilities. You cannot say that I'm going to relinquish the responsibilities of teaching the gospel to my children and give them over to the Sunday school teacher. You can't give them off to maybe the school. But each one of us as parents will be asked to account for that. Spiritual leadership is called for in the church today. Turn with me, please, over to the first book of Peter and the chapter 5. This chapter is a chapter focused around elders and the teaching elder. But I believe that within this chapter there is instruction for each one of us this morning. It says there in that verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." So we can see the focus of this chapter is going to be towards the elders. An instruction. But each one of us, I believe, can take something away for us. Look at the first two. Feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. There's a responsibility here to feed the flock. Spiritual leadership. Characteristics of leaders here is to feed the flock. Is to teach the people. We cannot get away from that. And in order to do that, it is taking us back to that place of the shepherd. That's where we sang the shepherd's psalm this morning. See, whenever the shepherd comes to look after the flock, it says there, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." The shepherd would have come along, he would have fed the flock. He would have taken them each morning to a green pasture. He would have taken them to a new place, somewhere where they would find nutrition for the day. And so it is, as we who are spiritual leaders, we are to feed the flock, to feed our children, to feed those round about. In Proverbs 27 and verse 23, it says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds." Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. I had this discussion among our young folk in Bible class, asking what did that mean, to look well to the state of a flock. Well, you'd want to make sure the flock was going to be healthy. You want to make sure it was going to be well fed. You're going to make sure that its feet are healthy, that it can walk right. And is that not all true of ourselves this morning? We need to look well to our flock. That might be in the sense the farmer needs to look well to his sheep. That might be that the spiritual leadership of this church might need to look well to its members. Sunday school teachers might need to look well to its Sunday school pupils, or even in our home. But it might also be this morning, in a very practical sense, that today you're an employer. Then you also have a responsibility to look well to your flock, to those who are employed by you. Or it might even be the things that make you money you might need to look well to. Just a simple instruction for everyday life. They need to be fed. The germs need to be killed off. You know, in one of them portions in Psalm 23, it talks there about how the oil is poured upon the head. It's there for the healing of the sheep. And how I'm told that the germs and the flies would burrow into the head of the sheep, how that oil would be poured upon it to calm it. And so it is that each one of us are to know diligently to know the state of our flocks. You need to know people. You need to know those that you're seeking to reach with the gospel. You cannot do that by sitting in an office. You need to be among the sheep. You need to be among the people. I know whenever I was growing up and being taught about management and business, they told me one of the important things was to walk the floor. In other words, to be among the people, to see what's happening. And it's only whenever you're there you actually can learn more. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Leaders, good leaders, are to be willing people. It says there, not by restraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. That word there, or those words, ready mind, means eagerly. It's taking responsibility. Maybe today you're in a place within the church, a place at home, and you're holding back this morning. Maybe you've been asked to do a certain role, and you've stood back and you haven't taken it. Well, you need to do it willingly. You need to do it eagerly. That is the marks, that is the character of good leaders, being willing and being eager to do it. Just with your finger in there in 1 Peter, because we will come back to there, if you could turn over to Judges chapter 9, please. Judges chapter 9, and this is Jotham. He rebukes here the people because of their choice of Abimelech. And he gives a story. The story there can be found in verse 8. It says there, "The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, Reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, Shall I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? The tree said to the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. The vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. The bramble said unto the trees, If in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let the fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." I want you to see here that there's the good trees here refused to take responsibility. They gave all of the leadership down to the bramble. We should never give away things that are our responsibility. We should never want the bramble as such looking after us. Abimelech was an ungodly man. Abimelech was a murderer. Look at in Judges 8 and 31, it talks there, and it says, "And his concubine that was in Shechem, which she also bare him a son whose name he called Abimelech." Abimelech was born of one of the concubines. He was an ungodly man, born out of sin, committed sin, was unrighteous, wanted to destroy the godly leadership. And how these people gave over their responsibilities to him. Each one of us need to take responsibility in our own life. You see, whenever we read, even in Isaiah 55 in the verse 13, it said, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, it shall not be cut off." Taking the godly responsibility. We need to take responsibility in the home. We need to take responsibility in our business or in our place of employment. We need to take responsibility in our own community. We need to take responsibility in our church this morning. Don't leave it to the brambles. Am I, whenever we look even at the leaders of today, we look at the government leaders of today, across our nation and in the mainland, have we given so much of the responsibilities to the brambles of life? Proverbs 29 and 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Am I how the bramble is coming on our nation? How the brambles are destroying our nation? How we will feel the pain? Yes, we still have freedoms today. But how we can see those being eroded more and more. How we can see them closing down upon the Christians and the stand that they are taking. Brambles are in that place of authority. But we as godly leaders, we as spiritual leaders, must take our stand and do that which is right. Turning back here to 1 Peter 5 and verse 3. 1 Peter 5 and 3. Says there, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." We are to be leaders. We're not to be lords over people. We are to be examples. We are to be examples. We can look at a couple of examples. It's over in Matthew 4 and verse 19, and it says there, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I shall make you fishers of men. Christ was one who we could follow. Christ was one who he brought these men, these fishermen. But he says, "I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you men that will save, will bring people to me." And we can see that what was happening, the duplication was happening here. 1 Corinthians 4 and 16, it says, the writer here of 1 Corinthians says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Be ye followers of me. See, this morning, as we think of spiritual leadership, as we think that we have followed Christ, are we following him correctly this morning? And can we this morning say to others in our family, in our place of employment, in our church, "You follow me, because I am going in the right direction. I'm following Christ this morning." Spiritual leaderships. Are we following this morning Christ? Are we following him 100%? Are we giving him all the authority in our life? Or are we not? But also this morning, if we are following Christ, are we leading others? As I've said this morning already, we are all leaders of some degrees. But as we can notice from 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, we have to be submissive. Look at that. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you should be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Leaders are submissive. Members of the church are to be submissive, submissive to the leadership of the church. And yet so many times we can rebel against that, so many times we might reject it, but that is where we are to be as leaders. We are to be submissive. Even as elders, they are under submission to the presbytery. Leaders should be known for their humility. And again, whenever we start to look at the scriptures, we can see the contrast even between the devil and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 14, in the verses 12 to 14, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Pride brought down Satan. No humility here. But yet whenever we come and we look into the Old Testament, we can see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who humbled himself, the one who came into this world of ours, this sin-cursed world. He left the splendors of glory. I want you to notice that. Come as a little child, grew up in an ordinary home, lived an ordinary life as such. We see him with his disciples, and coming near the end of his ministry, and to give them example. It says in John 13 and 5, "After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." There he came with service. He took the very lowest role there was in that house that day, the washing of feet. Am I so often, we as Christians can come into the work of the church and we might say, that work's not for me, that's too low for me. Or I won't do that. And I'm sure that in places of employment, people are refusing to do certain roles because it's beneath them. And yet here Christ took the water, took the basin, and they washed the disciples' feet. Yes, we are not to ask God, I believe, to humble us, but we are to humble ourselves, it says there, and be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble, that we might come today and ask God for that grace, that we might be humble before him. We might be humble before him. Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." It is our responsibility today. It's our responsibility to humble ourselves, that he may exalt you in due time. If we also look there at the verse 8, it says there, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The leader, the spiritual leader, is to be sober. Any man who is sober is full of his senses. He can see everything that's happening around him. He can hear everything. He's fully alert. So that is a bit vigil, been watchful this morning. We need to watch out how the devil will seek to trap us, to destroy us. We need to look out for his tactics. And Ephesians 6 and 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The word wiles there is the idea of the schemes of the devil. How the old devil will use all the different schemes that this world will throw at you. How he's thrown at you through the media, through the newspapers, through television, through the internet. He's throwing the wiles at you, trapping you, destroying you. How young people are being destroyed, their innocence has been destroyed through the media today. We can think of great men like Nehemiah from the Old Testament, when his enemies tried to stop him from building the wall. But he knew their tactics. He kept building. He wouldn't come down. He was a man who wanted to, in action, he wasn't going to stop. Nehemiah 4 and 8 and 9 it says, "And they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." That's the only thing we have today, is to come with prayer. to set a watch, to watch out how they might be trying to trap us and to destroy us and to take us off track. Isn't so often whenever we seek to witness to someone, we come to them with the offer of the gospel and we come and we talk about Christ who died for them. And where do they take us? They take us in to start to talk about creation. They start to take us in about all the different questions, and before long we know we're into an argument rather than bringing the gospel to them. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Today we know that we are spiritually secure. Today we know that we have got a salvation that's secure in Christ. But how the devil is seeking to destroy our testimony. Seeking to destroy our life. Seeking to destroy what we are in the community. Seeking to destroy our Christian leadership. I am sure that you will know of men who have been godly men, ministerial men, men who have fallen in sin, men who have committed adultery, men who have fallen through alcohol, how the devil has come and attacked them and destroyed their testimony. How we might cry, as it says in Samuel 1 and 25, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, I was slain in thine high places. How we see men and women fallen because of the tactics and the schemes of the devil. The devil will use all means how he might destroy us. And today all that we can do is to pray one for another. Pray this morning for your minister. Pray this morning for your elders. Pray this morning for your deacons. Pray this morning for one another. Because we need courage. We need to move forward. It says there in that verse 9 of 1 Peter 5, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in this world. We need courage. We need to be steadfast. We need to be solid this morning. We need to be well taught in the scriptures. We need to know doctrine this morning. It says there in that verse 12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. Characteristics of a good Christian leader is faithfulness. A man who is a believer, a man who is full of faith, a man who can be trusted. Can you be trusted this morning in the service of Christ? Proverbs 25 and 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Don't be a broken tooth in this church. Don't be a foot out of joint in this church, but be a faithful person. Be a faithful leader. In that last verse of 1 Peter 5 and 14, it says, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Now, I'm not proposing that those who welcome you at the door this evening should welcome you with a kiss. Maybe a handshake's enough. But the idea here of charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Oh, that we might be like Silvanus, a faithful brother. Oh, that we might be, that we might greet one another with charity. This morning, as I close, we are all leaders. Who are you following this morning? What are you teaching to others round about you who are following in your footsteps? Are you worth following this morning? Are you worth following this morning? Our cry should be that we would have the character of a leader, good leaders, that we might fulfill the cause of the Christian leader. That is, that we reach others with the gospel and that we teach and we duplicate people to be more like Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Revelation 2 and 10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, that we might be faithful leaders, faithful even unto death. that we might have that crown, that we might have our reward this morning. Let us close this morning with the singing of the hymn number 499. Hymn number 499.